Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
I ask you to draw near to me, that I may draw near to you, saith the Lord. For if you don't draw near to me, I could come into your life so close that you could reach out and touch me, but you would not even be aware of my presence because of the veil of flesh that separates us. But I say unto thee, I want to set your spirit free, to know me and to sense me and to come into my very presence, saith God, even here, even now. Yea, saith the Lord, keep seeking me, draw near to me, and I indeed will draw near to thee. And yea, when I draw near to thee, your life will be changed, and others will see my glory and not even know what's different, saith God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I've come out of services, stood in line at a quick food restaurant, and had people say something about the Lord. Aren't you a Christian? Aren't you Pentecostal? Aren't you Spirit-filled? Where did they get that from after my tie is gone and my suit is off and I'm just in my, turn up my short-sleeve shirt, my long-sleeve shirt, and not even looking like a preacher anymore? Amen. It has to be some of the glory of that still is there. And they can't distinguish it. They don't know what it is, but they know it is. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. We prayed, didn't we? You may be seated. You've done a wonderful job tonight. Praise God of singing good songs for the Lord. And I understand there's some special music for Resurrection Sunday. I hesitate to even use Easter. It's such an abused thing that it's kind of like there's always something to kind of try to eclipse the glory of Christmas, the glory of resurrection. And yet the truth still remains and still impacts our society. With all the things that are against it, the truth still shines through the darkness. And I'm grateful that there is a truth that still shines in the 21st century. And I'm an embracer of that truth. I don't want to see it edited to try to fit our new postmodern society. I certainly don't want to see it changed in any respect. I want it to remain the same gospel and the same faith that was ministered to the saints. There's really no other gospel. We don't need a new and improved gospel. We need to continually explore the original and bring the truths that are as old as the inception of the New Testament church. We need to bring those truths to light constantly. We need to review them and we need to rehearse them, because we're in a day of veering and drifting. And I wish I could say that it was just the certain denominations that have grown cold and become worldly and have adopted the worldview that are drifting. But sad to say, many people who claim a spirit-filled experience are drifting as well. It seems that experience did for a while replace doctrine. And when experience supersedes doctrine, then we're not on a Bible base anymore, and we just go with whatever flow is out there. And right now, there's some such serious error that anyone that took the time to study the Scriptures for a little while would be able to pick up on it. And it tells me that the blind are leading the blind. And people would not be blind if the Word of God got into their life. Amen. The Bible said, the entrance of thy word in Psalm 119, the entrance of thy word giveth light. Amen. Isn't that great? It illuminates. It gives understanding to the simple. David went on to say in that same psalm that I know more than all of my teachers because of your law. Amen. There's insight and understanding that only God's word can give. It's not like any other book in the world. Amen. It is a discerner of and a divider of the flesh from the spirit, the soul from the spirit. It's the only, the world recognizes soul and spirit, soul and body, but they do not recognize spirit. Amen. Oh. That's why the hearing of my word can bring faith to your heart and to your life, saith the Lord. For my word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And yea, the part of you that doubts and struggles with some of the issues in my word and some of my promises, the fleshly reasoning part of you that gets in the way of what I want to do many times in your life, saith God, that part of you will be separated. And the part of you that has the capacity to embrace my truth and take that truth to heart and stand upon that truth and see that truth manifest, to be delivered from the enemy, to be saved from sin's power and sin's destiny, to be healed, to be set free. All of these things are within the grasp of your faith, saith God. Somebody give Him praise tonight. So we need our faith built up. And believe me, we got a devil that's very interested in that your faith doesn't get built up. One part of the armor is the shield of faith, wherewith we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So I'm glad that this Sunday night we can kind of review some things. And I'm glad the Holy Spirit has directed us to go back to some issues about faith. Because you'd think after all of these years that I'd have that faith thing down. And with all the teaching on faith that's out there, my faith really rests in God's faithfulness. My object of my faith is Jesus, because He's the author of my faith. He's not just the author, He is the finisher, the Alpha and the Omega of our faith. He's the beginning, He's the end of it all. And all the in-between, we're supposed to keep that focus on Him. But faith is something that is no good unless it's used. And I believe it's Satan's personal business to keep us so discouraged or distracted or deceived, that we don't use the faith that we have. For years, I thought the issue was constantly building your faith. But most of us have a lot more faith than we realize, and certainly more than the devil would like us to be aware of and use. It's more of what you do with what you have than getting more. When the disciples asked Jesus to strengthen our faith or increase our faith, He said, you know, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, He was showing them size wasn't the primary issue of faith. Their need wasn't just more. Their need was to learn how to use what they had. Everybody say, using the faith you have. That's incredible, isn't it? I mean, He said, because He used, when they said increase our faith, He told them the parable of the mustard seed. Amen. It's the smallest of all the seeds, but you plant it. Amen. You use it, and what happens? Amen. A tree grows that the fowls of the air can come and build their nest in. Amen. Isn't that incredible? But it came from a seed so small that you have to magnify it to get a good look at it. If anyone has a mustard seed as a symbol of their faith, a Christian paraphernalia, they wear a little locket around their or a trinket around their neck, it'll be a concave lens. Otherwise, you would never see the mustard seed. And you're going to have to look close at that, because it's one of the smallest of all the seeds. But this great tree grew out of that. So the first thing He was telling them was, it's not the amount of faith you have so much. It's using what you have. It's learning to use your faith. Now, I like that. I'm glad for that, because the devil, every time you have a struggle with any issue of standing in faith or believing God for anything, he's going to attack you on the level of telling you don't have any. Because if he can convince you, you don't have any or you don't have enough, then you're not going to use it. And if you don't use it, faith without works or corresponding actions, according to James, is what? It's dead, being alone. You don't do anything with it. Amen? Even you can have gifts of the Spirit resident in you, laying dormant in you, because they operate according to the measure of faith. Can you say amen? There's all kinds of potential in our lives if we learn to use our faith. So it's important that we understand some of the dynamics of faith. One of the most quoted scriptures is in the book of Hebrews. You don't have to turn there right now, but one is the scripture that said, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Well, it's true, but it doesn't tell you everything you need to know about faith. That doesn't define everything I need to know about faith. Amen. One scholar said, and I agree with him, he said it's more about what faith does when it's operating than what it is in its essence. Now faith is, In other words, faith, when it's used, and faith, when it's operated, is the substance of things hoped for. It takes those things out of the invisible world, brings them into the visible world, and causes them to manifest. Yes, that's what faith does when it's operating. But the essence of faith is different from that. Amen. The better understanding of faith goes back to the Old Testament word trust. I think there's faith maybe one time in the Old Testament. If you go to Strong's Exhaustive, you might find it used one time. I think there's one instance, but the vast majority, and there it's probably rendered, maybe shouldn't even be rendered that way. You don't see that word in the Old Testament. You do see a word that corresponds to it that helps you understand the New Testament word that's just laced throughout the New Testament. And the Old Testament word, how many know the corresponding word in the Old Testament for faith? Trust. Amen. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Something about his character of faithfulness and love. Therefore, the sons of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wing. Isn't that incredible? They are using their faith because they have a revelation of you that is true. Isn't that incredible? They that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. I saw this week, it was either on CBN or MSNBC, and I've been quizzed about this already at work. They nail me when something comes out, that either 100 or 200 years after Christ document has been that supposedly the Catholic Church didn't want to get out. They considered it blasphemous. So it's out, and it has been documented. It was really written 100 or 200 years after Jesus. They don't know the author of it, but in this document they found, and they're all excited because they think it debunks what the Bible said about Judas, that Judas really wasn't, just little portions they read, that Judas really wasn't the bad guy. Jesus conspired with him so Judas would do this so he could go to the cross. He was really a good guy helping Jesus attain his. And it's phony. It's baloney. And someone asked me about it. I said, well, I have no doubt that it's a legitimate ancient document, but the authorship is in question. Who wrote this? I said, it's speculation. And anybody can speculate on anything. Right now, they're really trying to bring Jesus out of deity and come in here for one purpose exclusively, and that is to go to the cross, and that is that he married Mary Magdalene. They had kids. You know, he didn't go to the cross. He might have went there and swooned, but they got him off, and he married, and he lived, and he had these children, and somewhere out there, the direct descendants of Jesus, because he had a relationship with this lady, they see everything through a worldview. They see everything through sexual eyes. If a woman washes his feet out of gratitude, they say there's got to be something going on. But that's the world. That's the way they think, and it's speculation. Let me tell you how quick speculation started before we move a little further into this faith issue. Amen. It started about Jesus himself. They could easily find a document of someone who speculated that he was Elijah raised from the dead, or that he was John the Baptist come back. Jesus asked Peter before he even went to the cross. First generation, the early church hadn't even been formed. He asked Jesus, who do men say that I am? And people are already speculating. Amen. Some say you're Elijah. Some people out there say, well, what if somebody wrote down what they speculated? Somebody's going to find it and say, you know something? We thought he was Yeshua. We thought he was the Messiah. He was really Elijah. Come back. Baloney. Amen. What would happen 200 years from now if someone found one of those tabloids by the grocery store that you check out? You think anyone would give it historical credence? Probably. And probably. Because that's the worldview of it. It's on paper. I read newspapers just like everyone else, but I was in Washington, D.C., and we were warned by a senator up there that was very concerned about the proliferation of the media and all of the influential media, particularly the news anchors and the news networks in America. And he was saying that the brightest and best of the world become the journalists and the news anchors who give their slant and the world, and enshroud everything they see and in the world, in a worldview. He said, we take our brightest and best and we send them to the mission fields and we send them into world evangelism. And he said, it's time that some Christians got some journalistic experience and some Christians begin to, but you know something? They don't want Christians, amen, to bring anything from any other point of view than a worldview. So anyway, they asked me about it. I told them, I said, they were already speculating, and that's speculation. I said, but when you have a revelation, yes, sir, It's different than speculation. Jesus asked Peter the same thing after all what men were speculating. He said, but who do you say that I am? And here's a fisherman that doesn't have a background in even in his own theology of the day. And he says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I'm saying it loud over top of these hissing blow-mo machines that you have to use earplugs when you walk in the door of the room. And I'm having to shout it. And I don't know, it just felt like the preacher in me just flowed through me. Praise God. Don't ever ask a preacher a question if you don't want a sermon. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Just leave it lay. But it's so good to be talking to a young man who's inquisitive about Jesus and begin to quote the scripture. And flesh and blood did not reveal this unto me, but thou art Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, but my Father only. I said, when God reveals Christ, it is not speculation. It is revelation. Hallelujah. And nothing can shake it. It's settled in your heart. Hallelujah. You don't go any further for truth because you know the truth. So they're all excited because they found an ancient document that speculated about Jesus. Nothing new. Even in his own day, they were speculating about him. But Peter didn't speculate. He had a revelation. And he said, you're the Christ. How many know who he is tonight by revelation? You know it not because a preacher or your denomination says it, but you have come to know in your heart that he is Lord. No man can call him Adonai. No man can call him Master. No man can call him Lord except by the Holy Ghost. If God doesn't reveal him as that, you can't just mouth the words and have that reality. No man can come to the Father except the Spirit drawing. This is all spiritual stuff. Amen? Amen. So, wow. I don't... Let's talk about faith a little while. Shalabakursolabara. You have the capacity to receive revelation. When you read my word, you're able to see what others cannot see. You're able to hear what others cannot hear. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Hallelujah. If my word becomes alive in you, your spirit shall be strengthened. Your eyes shall see beyond the present. You will look where others cannot see. You will hear my voice when others hear nothing. And I will guide you and I will direct you. And I will keep you from error, even in these last days of great deception, saith God. For you have an unction from the Holy One to know all things, saith the Lord. Somebody give him praise tonight. Hallelujah. Don't sell yourself short because you don't have a degree in theology. If you have a revelation of who Jesus is, the Father gave that to you. And you can pick up this Bible and God can begin to speak to you directly and distinctly through it. You can hear an anointed message, and that anointing on the message will go straight into your heart and bring faith alive within you. Can you say amen? He said, you'll see things that others can't see, and you will hear things that others can't hear. He that's at an ear, amen, let him hear what the Spirit says into the church. You have that capacity. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but he's done what to us? He's made us alive. And that's a God consciousness. We've come alive to God. Hallelujah. Amen. We don't speculate about a supreme being. We talk about a heavenly Father. We talk about Jesus, our Savior. It's up close and personal. Look at somebody and say, it's up close and personal. Hallelujah. Well, I can see it's just going to bless some of your socks clean off. Amen. You must not be seeing what I'm seeing this morning. You must not have heard what I heard this morning. Can you say amen? Because I'm telling you, what I saw and heard set my feet a dancing. If you ever see and hear it, it'll set your feet a dancing too. Glory to God. Active faith sees the invisible. Let me read this real quickly because God has already prepared us for this. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's saying that the spirit realm is more real than this realm. Amen. But we, because of our natural sight, we are so connected to this realm, sometimes we just don't look beyond it. And real faith, when it's used, sees the invisible. I recently read, and I probably told you this before, but I think it's really neat about the nature of gazelles. They're so agile, they can easily jump over a 10-foot fence. I mean, it's nothing to clear a 10-foot fence. But at a zoo, they only need a 5-foot fence to contain them. You know why? Because they won't jump over anything if they can't see what's on the other side. If there's an element of, I don't know what's over there, he's not going to jump it even though he can. So the reason he's contained within that small perimeter is not because he can't get out. It's because he can't see the other side. Faith allows you to see. Amen. Everybody say to see. While we look at the things, not just the things that are seen, we look at the things which are not seen. Everything in the seen visible world is temporal. It's subject to change. It's passing. That's what the Bible said about loving not the world for a particular reason. The particular reason, of course, it's going to lead us to sin. And of course, it's going to set us up for temptation. But one of the main reasons the Bible brings out for not loving the world is because it passes away. Can you say amen? The word for passing away means transient. It's in a state of constant change. Amen. Everything is changing. We're changing. I mean, one day you're going to look in a mirror and a senior citizen is going to look back at you. And you know something? It's going to kind of shock you when you become aware that you're an actual senior citizen. Because inside, you're the same you. But the outside of you is in a state of change. Amen. One day you're going to understand why senior citizens talk about their aches and pains. Amen. One day you're going to become your mama, your daddy. Hallelujah. One day you're going to get aches and pains. One day you're going to get swollen ankles. Welcome to the world of aging. Can you say amen? Amen. What is it? What they? Anyway, I won't go into all the old jokes because it's not as much fun anymore. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, wouldn't it be great if someone looked beyond this little setting tonight, looked beyond your job tomorrow, looked beyond your responsibilities and saw the angels of the Lord camped round about us right here. Faith sees the invisible. Amen. So Elijah, I don't believe Elijah looked up and saw angels, but he knew they were there because he believed that the God that said he would place them around us was a God of truth. So he accepted that by faith, but it allowed him to see something. Amen. That no one else saw. Amen. Elijah, Gehazi, he goes out. I mean, his servant, Elijah's servant goes out there surrounded. You know the story. Amen. And he says, there's more with us than there is with them. Don't worry about it. This great army that's surrounding us. And the guy is just as worried as before he said it. Amen. He asked God to do something that God did on one occasion. He's not going to do it probably for you or I, but he did it for him. He said, open thou his eyes, Lord, and let him see. Let him see what? A dimension that is parallel to this dimension, a parallel world, a spiritual dimension where there are people in that dimension, good and evil, benevolent and malevolent. There are evil angels and there's good angels and there's angels of the Lord and there's demons from hell. And they all are in that realm. Amen. He said, I want you to see what God has done for us. Open his eyes. Let him see. Amen. And immediately God let the scales fall off his eyes. He saw into that invisible to the natural eye world, and he saw the hills were filled with chariots of fire. Amen. He got his mind off of his trouble. He got his mind off of his trauma. He got his mind off the threat because he saw that they were indeed, amen, more empowered to overcome the enemy than the enemy was to overcome them. Man looks at the natural appearance. That's all he can see unless God opens his eyes. You know what David said? Open thou mine eyes, O God, and show me wondrous things out of thy law. The first step in seeing the invisible is letting God give you a revelation in his word. Because if you get a revelation through the Word, you can begin to take things by faith. Faith is the evidence of things hoped, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You don't have to see that world to believe it exists and to reach out and take a hold of the truth of it and reality of it. Isn't that incredible? Open thou his eyes and let him see. He said, oh man, we ain't got nothing to worry about. If God could open your eyes tonight and let you see that there's more with us than there is against us. Can you say amen? If you could see the angel of the Lord in this room right now. Amen. All of the things that you're thinking about other than what you ought to be thinking about would be blown away. If God could just open your eyes. But you see, God wants you to get a revelation from his word because he's going to do the same thing. You don't have to have him just part the curtain because you know what's back there. You don't need the curtain. Do you want what's in the box or what's behind the curtain? Well, I don't know. I don't know. Because I can't see either one. Well, when you know what's behind the curtain, you always choose the curtain. Then you say amen. Amen. Yes. If you're not getting revelation from the Word of God, you're just listening with your head. You don't see the invisible. Amen. All you see is the natural. All you know about God is if something happens that you can see, feel, and touch. You don't know what's happening in the heavenlies. Amen. Daniel had to believe that God was up to something when heaven seemed brass and prayer went unanswered. For 21 days, he sat at the river and prayed for something God wanted him to have, and that's a revelation of the book that he was giving him to seal until the time of the end. Let me tell you something about the book of Daniel. Amen. Jews are not reading the book of Revelation. They do not believe that the New Testament, Malachi, they put on the brakes. Can you say amen? And yet, amen, there's a day coming when this knowledge that we have is going to be disseminated unto Israel. And there is a book that they do read that tells about a beast coming and tells about things happening that the book of Revelation talks about. You know what book it is? It's a prophetic book. And it's been sealed until the time of the end. But in the time of the end, this is not sealed to us. Can you say amen? But it's not sealed to a New Testament believer. Hasn't been. Amen. We didn't have to wait till 2006 for the book of Daniel to be understood. They were understanding the book of Daniel in the New Testament church. Amen. From the very inception of the New Testament church, because the Spirit of truth come and begin to guide them into all the truth of Scripture. But the Jews still haven't, amen, grasped the book of Daniel, because when they do, they'll know that this one that came up to the Ancient of Days has a name, and his name is Yeshua HaMashiach. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Let me tell you what's going to happen. Amen. In these last days, amen, when that abomination of desolation is threw up on that altar, when the Antichrist does his thing to get the worship that he's always wanted, the book of Daniel is going to be the book that the Holy Spirit points the Jewish nation to. They're going to go to that book to find out what is going on. And when they go to that book, amen, Jesus is going to stand up in the book of Daniel. Can you say amen? Woo! Hallelujah! Glory to God! It's sealed until what? The time of the end. Well, it's not sealed to us, and it hasn't been for years and years and years. But it is sealed to the nation of Israel as far as the correct understanding. But the seal's coming off in the last day. God's going to use the book. No wonder Satan fought Daniel over receiving the revelation of the book of Daniel. Why did he do it? Because it's something, hallelujah, that God would use to fulfill prophecy in the end time. Woo! Glory to God. All Israel's going to be saved because a seal is going to come off a book that's going to cause them to believe the whole New Testament. And the book is the book of Daniel. Because there's a beast in the book. Just like in Revelation. Can you? And every Jewish scholar still reads that little book. But he don't see it yet. But he's going to see it. It's sealed until when? Time of the end. What are we in? What are we approaching right now? Time of the end. I'm looking for a mighty revival in the nation of Israel. Hallelujah. It's coming. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. The Antichrist is coming, but so is Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Seal it till the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro. Amen. That means that's why they're worried about bird flu right now, because we're in an international community. Amen. It's hard to keep anything from going somewhere, because between the trade and the vegetables and the meat and the products and the people. Amen. We're in a world that's networked globally. Many shall run to and fro, and listen to this. Knowledge shall be increased. This is not just technological knowledge, but an insight and understanding of the Word of God like never before. I'm telling you the truth. Amen. We're in a day of revelation. Sometimes I look at a scripture and it leaps out, amen, like something jumping into my heart. And I say, oh God, I've preached for years and heard preaching for years, but I've had it, you know, come on like a neon light, but I've never had it just jump into my heart like this. You can be in a Bible study in your home, studying a scripture you're prepared to bring the study on. And while you are speaking about it, something drop in your heart that you didn't see and it just come out. And you say, where'd that come from? And it's just a deeper understanding of that truth and a new facet to it or something. You see it and you say, wow. Then you say it backwards. Wow. Hallelujah. Amen. You ever had that happen? Has it ever happened? Amen. I've been preaching and something come while I'm preaching. Not while I'm preparing, but while I'm delivering the sermon. And something come while the sermon's coming and say, whoa, I didn't prepare that. I didn't see that. But there it is, and it's true, and it lines up with Scripture. Wow. Sometimes I get under the anointing and can't wait to hear what I'm going to say next. And that's not egotism. I just believe the Holy Spirit's here helping me. I need a lot of help from the Holy Spirit. And He gives it to all those who look to Him for it. Praise God. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. That's why Paul lived under such oppressive circumstances, a thorn in the flesh, all those persecutions that came to him. And yet he kept victory because he looked beyond this natural. He looked beyond the moment and he requalified everything that happened in time in light of eternity. And he called what would tear us apart these light afflictions, which are but comparatively. Come on. But what? A moment. I'll tell you, if you've got a family problem, it'll weigh on you. You've got a personal problem in your marriage, it'll weigh on you. If you've got a family member that's giving you grief, it's going to weigh on you. If you're turned wrong with a church member, it's going to weigh on you. Satan will torment you with that. Amen. Folks, all of this stuff needs to be requalified. We need to quit letting it get us down. Praise God. We need to see the invisible, eternal realm and spectrum. And we need to understand the eternal kingdom. We have been given a kingdom which cannot be moved. Nothing shakes this kingdom. Amen. We need to get more connected with the kingdom that cannot be shaken. Because a day is coming when everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. But there's a purpose in it. And it's not so Satan can hurt us or harm us. It's so the true and the real, hallelujah, the eternal, that is a true spiritual substance, it's going to remain. The world church is going to shake with the world, but the true church is going to stand when the whole world is shaking. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. There's something that God says cannot be shaken. And it's a kingdom that doesn't come with observation. Woo! But that doesn't make it any less real. Hallelujah. This Jesus that we serve is reigning King of kings and Lord of lords. He's not going to be. He is right now. Can you say amen? Woo! Wow. And all this junk will never stop. Amen. The mighty move of God that He wants to bring. Listen, Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. Now faith, you've heard this so many times. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. This is when faith is activated. Faith is in use. This is not faith laying in your heart. This is faith exhibited in your life. Do you understand that? The essence of faith is trusting God with all of your heart. It's not a force, some mystical force as some people would like to make it out to be. I've heard so many things that interact with the mystics and with New Age stuff that's trying to be interlaced with the New Testament. You end up with nothing more than positive thinking rather than a God who responds to the cry of His people. There's a difference in getting up and thinking that your words have created power and getting up in the morning saying, when my word lines up with His word, my God has created power. Can you say, man? I do not believe that your words can create wealth. I do not believe that you are the creator. Amen. I believe he is the creator. Can you say amen? I don't believe you make with your faith a mountain move. I believe you put your trust in him and he acts on it by his spirit. Can you say amen? So your faith don't get the credit for a removed mountain. Your God gets the credit for it. Can you say amen? For the mountain that stands before you, amen, shall become as a plain, not by might or power, but by, this is exclusive, amen, to God. By my spirit, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. When it moves, man doesn't walk around like a banty rooster with his breast stuck out. Amen. Beating on his chest, said, look what my faith has done. He humbly thanks God for hearing his desperate cry and says, look what my God has done. Woo! Somebody shout victory tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed. Literally, that word is formed by the word of God. Listen, so that the things which are seen were not made by things that do appear. Invisible spiritual forces brought everything that you see into existence. Woo! And when I say forces, I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. Amen. God spoke the word, but the Holy Ghost did the work. Amen. In the beginning, amen, the earth was without form and void. And the Spirit of the Lord put on his coveralls. And the Spirit of the Lord brooded. He says, I want to create. I want to bring life. Oh, hallelujah. He still can create and bring life. Can you say, man? He can create joy in your heart when you can't pull an emotion of joy from nowhere. But he can do it. Can you say, man? Can you say, man? Yes, he can. He does it all the time for me. He could do it for you if you'd look past the natural. Those are feelings. You're trapped in that box. You could jump over that wall anytime you want to, but you won't jump. You're held a prisoner of your own devices. And you're trying to cope with it all without the joy of the Lord, the real peace of God. And you can't. You just can't pull your emotions up that high. You know what's going to happen to you, younger women? I'm talking about going into middle age. Your hormones are going to go crazy. You realize you're in for a rough ride. One day your husband's going to meet one lady at the door. And the next day he's going to meet an entire different lady at the door. And all the ladies that know about hormones and changes. I mean, your body, things are going to change, honey. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm telling you, if you're trusting your emotions, you're in trouble. Amen. One day your emotion is going to tell you how good God is and how close he is to you. You're going to have one of the greatest days of your life because your emotions are lined up with that truth, how close God is and how good he is. And the next day your emotions are going to go haywire and you're going to wonder where God is and why he hadn't shown up to help you and why heaven seems so brass. And you've got to get a hold of something that transcends those emotions. Oh, by the way, guys, you got some too. Amen. Amen. You got some too. You're going to go work all day. You're going to be wore out. You're going to be spent mentally and spent physically. Amen. And your spirit man is going to be inside saying, I sure am hungry. And your belly is going to say, I wish I had me some pork chops. Amen. Can you say amen? And a couch to lay on. Just give me some stuffed pork chops and a couch to lay on. And I'll be good for tomorrow. I'll be good to go. Amen. Dale, fix me some chicken and dumplings and let me lay down on the couch and I'll be good to go. Wake me up at 10 o'clock so I can go to bed. Can you say? My wife, when I worked for Tico, she used to wake me up, amen, at around 10 to try to get me to go to bed. Sometimes I, because, you know, I'd be watching the TV and within 15 minutes the TV would be watching me. And you ever had that happen? Amen. And I just lay over wherever I'm at. I mean, I don't need one of those expensive mattresses. I do not. I'm like an old dog that passes out. I just pass out wherever I am. I went one time, I passed out in the chair at my computer. I mean, it was awful feeling because my neck flopped back. You know, it's a computer chair. There's no backrest on it. My neck had flopped back like that, yeah? And drool was coming up the side of my mouth. I woke up with this terrible pain in my neck and drool coming up the side of my mouth. And I thought, here is God's man of faith and power studying the Scripture. I immediately shook myself, apologized to God, made me a pot of coffee and drank two cups. And somehow I believe my father understood. I really believe he understood. And I was just tired, wore out. Stopped for a minute to rest my eyes. My wife came in the other night and she said I was like this. Just frozen, about halfway down, out of it completely. Anyway, she tells it funnier than I do. Amen. But God is good. I went out to pray one time in a little Volkswagen, 1969 Volkswagen. Amen. I went out and got in the front seat because we lived in a little 10-wide trailer. There was no place to go to get away. I could not get away. So I went out and I got in the car. I went outside. I want to be in God's creation and I'm going to walk under these trees, look up at the stars, and the mosquitoes like to eat me up. Amen. So I couldn't pray outside. I decided I'm going to get in this Volkswagen, pray in the Volkswagen. I wanted to get on my knees, so I got in the passenger side and knelt in the Volkswagen and put my head down in the seat and started praying. Worked a long, hard day in 95-degree heat for Tampa Electric, and there I was praying in the front seat of that Volkswagen. I'm going to seek God tonight. I'm not going to let tiredness. I'm going to discipline this body. I'm going to pray and seek His face until He come. Now I got in that Volkswagen, and I started praying, and I don't know at what point I went off into this deep, 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 unconscious-like sleep. Amen. But I woke up. I guess my wife thought, boy, he's doing some serious praying tonight. Here it is almost midnight. He's still out in that car praying. I was all humped over in the floorboard with my head laying in the seat. I woke myself up snoring. And I said, oh, Jesus, please forgive me. I'm so sorry. See, we all got flesh. I mean, it's there. You can make God any kind of promise you want to, but you got some flesh that's not going to jump up and say, I'm reporting for duty. No, your flesh is going to say, cook me some chicken and dumplings, amen, some nanner pudding, and let me lay down on the couch, and don't forget to wake me up so I can go to bed. Can you say amen? That's what your flesh will do. But God is saying to us tonight that inside you, in that inward man, though the outward man, which ain't worth much, amen, perisheth, amen. It's in a state of flux and change. The inward man is different. There's that eternal person inside of you. Hallelujah. The inward man is what? What is he to be experiencing every single day of your life? He's renewed day by day. Can you say amen? That means that God wants rich fellowship in His Word, rich fellowship in worship. He wants to touch your life daily with His presence and power. Woo! God is so good. And He put up with me and blessed me. Used to work all day for TECO and come to the Holy Church of God in the early days before it was full time. And I would hurry home, hurry up and eat, hurry up and dress, get in the car and the sun would be sinking. Dome light wasn't bright enough to see a little bitty New Testament I was reading without glasses. And I would open let Pamela drive, and I would open the glove compartment and hold it down and hunker down to where I could read those little tiny words at the glove compartment and say, Lord, give me a message. Give me a message. I don't have anything. I've worked hard all day and I just feel depleted. Lord, but You can give me a message. Lord, inspire me. Show me something. Show me this. That's what David was praying. Lord, show me wondrous things out of Thy law. Open Thou mine eyes and show me wondrous things. Can you say, man? We got preachers that preach by books you buy that take care of your sermons for the year. And believe me, they got something patriotic to say on the 4th of July, and they got something to say on Thanksgiving and something to say on Christmas, but they're only saying what's been said. And it sounds good, and there's a story to match, but they're just talking. There's a difference in just talking and preaching. When a revelation hits you, you don't just talk anymore. Can you say, man? You proclaim, you speak as an oracle of God. And that's a whole different situation than just intellectually trying to theologically explain something. Hallelujah. Rod Revol said, make my tongue the pen of a ready writer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which were seen were not made by things which do appear. You know the amazing thing about praying? I'd get to church and I'd go in that little ante room and I'd get down and pray while the song service is going on. I said, Lord, I still don't have anything. God would just give me a little something, little seed thought. And I'd try to find some scripture real quick and mark it in my Bible. And I thought, oh, I wish I had time to study this before I preach it tonight. Just got enough to kind of scratch the surface on this. Go out and scratch the surface. At the end of the service, people come to know Jesus. And I thought, boy, you can't get something good enough in here to take the place of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When we get so good we think we don't need Him, we're in serious trouble. I don't want to ever get good at preaching. I don't want to ever get so experienced I don't say, Lord, help me tonight to connect on a deeper level than just the mind. It's tough on Sunday night because we're all tired. All of us are tired. Amen. But in your spirit, you have the capacity to hear what His Spirit, not just what the preachers say. Every time you open your Bible, amen, my words are spirit and they are life. Can you say amen? You have the capacity to hear what the Spirit wants to say to the church, and God can talk to you directly from His Word. Wow. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so the things which are seen are not made by things which do appear. I love the Amplified on this. It's very good. It says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed. Moffat also said that, an old rendering of this, Moffat's translation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. How many believe you're going to go to heaven when you die? How many believe there's a place called heaven? Yeah. Amen. You know how you got that? You got it by faith. Faith is embracing that. No, you haven't been there. I haven't been there. I haven't seen the celestial city. But seeing it wouldn't confirm it any more than it is tonight. I am absolutely convinced there is a city four square. I'm absolutely convinced there's a river of life flowing from beneath the throne of God. I'm absolutely convinced with the unshakable conviction that there are trees on either side of the river and their leaves are for the healing of the nations. I'm absolutely convinced that Lisa Marie Venable lives in that city. And that Grandpa Hodges, amen, rests beside that river and Grandma Hodges with him. Hallelujah. How do you know that, Brother Venable? I know it because what I've received from God's Word, not just because I read the book, but because revelation has come to my heart. Amen. Wow. And it brings that kind of faith that perceives as a real fact that's not revealed to the senses. And that means when you don't feel God and you don't feel good, amen, you can reach out and take hold of His goodness, amen, and His presence anyway. Glory to God. Listen to this real quickly. Faith sees the invisible. We'll try to hurry and close. Hebrews 11, 24 through 27. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Do you realize what he turned down? The son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was in the lineage and heirship to the greatest world empire that had ever been around in that day. And it was Egypt. It was a world empire. Not a complete world rulership, but a world empire in that region. Egypt stood out above all. The riches of Egypt was absolutely mind-boggling. It was on the level of a Bill Gates. Amen? For him, personally. So when he was making these choices, he looked at this visible, blessed opportunity. And he chose the invisible and the affliction of being just a Jew instead of the son of Pharaoh's daughter. People oppressed people that were enslaved by Egypt. He said, I'd rather be identified with them than to have everything that this world can give me by being the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And he was a grown man and he had understanding. See what happened? And they're killing all these kids. His mother put him in a basket, put him in the river and turned the basket loose and said, God, I trust my son to you. I can't keep him safe, but you can. I can hold him as tight as I can hold him, but if the soldiers come, they'll rip him from my arms and they will kill him. But you got a hand that can hold him. And I'm going to entrust him to your hands. Some of you need to do the same thing with your life and your children. Doesn't seem like the right thing to do, to take that. See, we want to touch and hold on so tightly as if we can make the difference. You can't. I tell people all the time, when are you going to give your kids to God? They're worrying me to death, Brother Venable. Give it to God. Give him to God. Give her to God. Amen. Don't just pray. Give them to God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm afraid they're going to get killed. Give them to God. You understand what I'm telling you? Give them to God. You can't stop them from getting killed. And you can't stop them from getting on drugs. And you can't stop them from having illicit sex. And you can't keep them from the world's temptation or the tempter. But you can certainly give them to God, and God can keep them from being killed, and God can take them on a journey, what the devil means for evil, and turn it out good. Hallelujah. Somehow, some way, God can come through. Give them to God. I gave my kids to God. I never seen anything change for good until I gave him to God. God's got him tonight, and I don't carry him on my back. Don't mean I don't care. It means it's too important to me to think that I can handle it. So I have to give it to God. Hallelujah. So when my son is around his daddy, he sees a joyful man, a peaceable man, a man who feels like God has it. Hallelujah. Woo! Oh, as some of you folks here, I give to God. If I didn't give you to God, I'd be packing you around too. And I love you and I care about you, but I can't carry you. I can only give you to God. And one of these days, God's going to shake you up. One of these days, God's going to get down on the inside of you. One of these days, you're not just going to sit out there and look at me looking at you. One of these days, you're going to see what I see on Sunday morning. Woo! That makes me forget about everybody in this room. And everything else in my life. I'm almost done, but it's hot in this coat right now. My heart rate must be 152. But my blood pressure is normal. God is so good. God is so good. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years. See, faith lets you see things. Listen to this. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. He said, this world and everything in it. See, that's what his Hebrew mama taught him. Because that little basket went around a bend in the river. Pharaoh's daughter went down to that river with her servant ladies. Amen. And when she saw that basket, God caused her to fall in love with that baby. And she said, this baby's not going to die. This baby's coming home with me. He's going to be raised in the palace. But this baby needs a nanny to nurse. Go and see if you can find a Hebrew woman that's recently been bereft of a child and bring her here. And they went out and what a coinkadink. Can you say, glory be to God. They went out and they brought his mama to the palace to raise him. And as he sat on her knees, she taught him faith. The faith of the Hebrew people, the faithfulness of a covenant-keeping God. And she said, this world's going to pass and all the glory of Egypt's going to pass. And there's going to be a great judgment. Amen. And we're the people of God, the children of the Most High. And we're looking past this world. Hallelujah. We don't know how long we're going to be in Egypt, but we're looking past Egypt already. In fact, we're looking past this world as we know it. And that got inside that young man. When he come to years, he had a revelation and an understanding of an invisible God and an invisible kingdom and a heaven, amen, to gain and a hell to shun. And he said, you can't tempt me with anything Egypt has. All this is going to pass and all these people are going to pass. Amen. But I'm going to live forever when I leave these brick pits. Hallelujah. Someday I'm going to live forever. Isn't that incredible? Esteeming, verse 26 said, the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Can you say amen? Amplified, I like it again. Motivated by faith, he left Egypt behind him. Being unawed and undismayed by the wrath of the king. For he never flinched, but held staunchly to his purpose and endured steadfastly as one who gazed on him who is invisible. Where is your gaze tonight? Where's your gaze? Look at the Bible as a holy book, but everything that really grabs you is all the things happening in your immediate life circumstance. You know where it shows up when you try to worship this God you can't see? Because you're just going through the motions. Amen? Just going through the motions. There's nothing touching you deep within. Worship teams need to watch themselves. The lady that leads Hillsong, what's her name? Darlene? Whatever. She's a wonderful lady. She's got a powerful voice and a wonderful personality, and she's got a stage presence. When she sings, she just sings from the heart, it seems. They interviewed her, and you know what she said? Everybody take note tonight before we close. She said, you can do this so many times if you're not cautioned. You can just do it. You can even go through the same motions as when those actual emotions were kicking in. You can lift your hands. You can raise your voice an octave. You can volumize more at a particular point in a song to get it across like you got it across when the whole audience sensed the presence of God out there. But she said, I have to check myself and recheck myself, because she said there's a danger in the repetition of performing here and performing there and going here and going there, that I just begin to do it as a performer unto the people rather than a worshiper unto the Lord. At some point, amen, you have to find out, who are you doing this for? The people in the audience or the God that you can't see, that you need to be so aware of, you forget the audience. You forget the audience. I remember hearing the true story. A lady, she rented leased this theater in Detroit back before the mega churches, and over 1,500 people would attend. And she had this song leader. He was a little bit nervous about going out to this huge crowd. I like huge crowds. You know why I like huge crowds? Because generally there's a pretty good distance between you and the platform. And if you really get preaching to a huge crowd, all the faces blend. There's no one face that is singled out anymore. It's a sea of faces. So you're not drawn to one. See, like right now, I'm looking dead at Terry. I can smell his aftershave. Amen. Or lack of it. Can you say amen? But I can see Terry. I'm up close. Everybody in here, I can see your face. I mean, you know, you can't hide too much through your expression. You forget yourself sometime, and your face conveys messages, you know. And anyway, I can see all of that. But anyway, the fact of, you know, going before this crowd, and, you know, he would try to lead singing and all of that. And he told the lady, he said, I got to resign. He said, I can't go out before this crowd every night. He said, I get nervous, I mumble, I stumble. She said, you know, said, here's what you do. I don't want you to quit. She said, I want you to sing unto the Lord. I do not want you to go out and sing to these people and lead this choir in singing to these people. I want you to sing to the Lord. Have you ever worshiped God in your private life? Oh, yes, yes. Well, I want you to do that when you walk out on that platform. I don't want you to go out there and perform and sing to those people. I want you to go out there and worship your God. Amen. If you have to shut your eyes and turn your face to heaven, I want you to worship God. Amen. I want you to get so God-conscious that you're no longer self-conscious. Somebody say, get God-conscious enough that I'm no longer self. Listen, if you could see yourself when you really get in the Spirit, you may never do it again. That'll make you self-conscious. But when you're God-conscious, you don't care, do you? You can do the chicken dance and not even think about who's in the audience. I hope you don't quit doing the chicken dance if we ever get a big church full of people from the higher echelons of New Tampa. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I hope you still do the chicken dance. I never ask God to tone the service down because a visitor is coming from the First Baptist or the First Methodist. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If we're going to be just like everybody else, then we don't need the Holy Spirit to move. I want Him to move. I want Him to manifest. Maybe something different is going to happen in a life. Maybe somebody's going to get touched by something more than religious ceremony on Sunday morning. Can you say amen? I've been to religious ceremony. It didn't do anything for me. I've been to just emotionalism. That didn't do anything for me either. But in the presence of the living God, where I can see Him that's invisible, it's life-changing. Hallelujah. Woo! And when you see Him that is invisible, you make decisions based on that understanding rather than the physical and the material world about you. Even if it's giving up this whole world, take this whole world and give me Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Handabashola bakasa salabadita tadamakita mundadabasila bakitana. Hallelujah. In order for God to strengthen Zerubbabel to pursue His purpose in spite of opposition and contrary circumstances, He encouraged him to look beyond the physical and tangible to the unseen but no less real realm of the Spirit. Let me just read it. You've heard it 100 times just to close this part of seeing that is invisible. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Who art thou, O great mountain? Who art thou, O great mountain? When faith sees the invisible, we look at mountains differently. And that defies us, we defy in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. David did the same thing with a mountain of a man, a Philistine giant. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of the living God? With him is nothing more than the arm of flesh. Woo! He had to be seeing somebody invisible to walk out in front of that man without any armor on and say, I'm going to take your head off your shoulders. Take your sword away from you and cut it off with your own sword. And then run toward him. Amen. Glory. Somebody give God praise tonight. He's worthy. Let's stand up and give him praise. I'm done. It's time to praise him. Hallelujah. Who art thou? Are you ready to speak to mountains? Are you ready to see them move, saith God? Are you ready to tell the enemy to set your children free? Are you ready to tell the enemy that he can't keep your healing from you? Are you ready to tell the one that opposes you, who are you to defy the mighty one of Israel, saith the Lord? Somebody give God praise tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Boy, the devil don't want you to use the faith that you've got. Mushalabakisala. Whatever you got queued up, let's worship for just a moment.